Hello, this is Joe McGee. You know, we've been doing seminars across the country for years. Seminars on marriage, parenting, men, money, and family. We want to encourage you to email us and let us know if this podcast has helped you. Or maybe you have joined us live at one of our seminars. If you have a testimony, you just want to tell us what God's doing in your life, please email us at mail@joemcgeeministries.com, or you can contact us through our website, joemcgeeministries.com. There you will find helpful articles and tools to help you grow in God, your marriage, and your family. We love you guys. We hope you enjoy the podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Heroes of Faith. We're learning a lot about what God does, how good he is. He never leaves us, never forsakes us. Whatever we need, he's already supplied that need ahead of time. So we're not begging God to do anything. We're just receiving what he's already done. So we're talking about Jethro advising Moses today. Moses has got the children of Israel out of that mess in Egypt. The Egyptian army has drowned. They've gone through parts of the wilderness now. There was no water, bitter water, no food, lots of food. We got all the stories where God's being so good to them. He's trying to get them to trust him. So anyhow, Moses has had several miracles. We're not quite to the promised land yet, but we're making good progress. So in Exodus chapter 18, news reached Midian about all the things God had done for Moses and his people. Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, heard about it. He went to find Moses to hear more. Jethro asked Moses, "What is this the Lord has done for you? What is all this?" How much Moses had to tell him. Tears ran down Jethro's cheeks as he heard how the Lord has helped the people, helped the Israelites in their trouble, which Pharaoh and the Egyptians had brought on him. God had helped them many, many times since they left Egypt. And to Moses, Jethro and Moses praised God how good the Lord had been. They just got excited, sharing testimony with one another. As Moses climbed the mountain, Joshua was with him. For 40 days, Moses listened to God's words. So he's down at the mountain, and so all of a sudden, Cecil B. DeMille's made a good movie about this. But biblically, we're going to jump over to Exodus 20. He's been there. His father-in-law has encouraged him. He goes up the mountain. He's up there for 40 days, and he's listening to God. He's receiving the commandments, as we know them as the Ten Commandments. So in Exodus chapter 20, verse 3, God starts giving him some of the law. God says to Moses, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Or God said, you shall not bow yourself down to them or serve them. For I, the Lord God, am a jealous God, God visiting the iniquity upon the fathers of the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, showing mercy, though, unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments." It's like he drew a line in the sand right there. "Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will hold him guiltless that has taken the name in vain." Will not hold him guilty. You're going to be guilty. God's going to judge that. He says this, "Then remember the Sabbath, the day, and keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor, you shall do work, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, is the day of the Lord. And then it says, you shall not do any work, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your manservant, nor your maidservant, nor your cattle, nor any stranger that is within the gates. For 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and he rested on the seventh. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and mother, which that many days may be long upon the earth, which the Lord God gives you. You shall not kill. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his manservants or maidservants or his ox, nor his donkey, or anything that is neighbor's. That's not yours, that's his." Starting in verse 24, while Moses was on top of the mountain, Sinai, talking with God, Joshua waited for him on the mountainside. From their tents in the valley, the Israelites looked to the mountains. The top looked like fire, and flames shot up in the sky at night. And the people knew Moses was in the thick cloud with God. The days became weeks. Still, Moses did not return. The Israelites wondered if he would come back. Maybe he just went on with God. They grew restless. They got uneasy. And they forgot how afraid they had been when they heard God's voice and thunder from the mountain. They seemed to forget even the words that God had spoken. They forgot how he had promised Moses to obey the words of the Lord. They had promised, "God, we promise we'll obey you." One day they said to Aaron, "You know something? dreadful has happened. Something dreadful has happened to Moses because he didn't come back. Of course, they complained because Moses had led them into the lonely wilderness, left them without a brave leader to take his place. Every day, they grew more restless. Finally, they told Aaron, "Make gods to go before us and show us the way." Aaron was not brave. He feared the people. He remembered the time when they wanted to kill Moses because they could find no water. Perhaps he thought, "They'll kill me if I refuse to do what they ask." So he did not remind them of the promise to serve no other gods but God himself. Instead, he told them, "Bring your gold earrings to me. I'll do them." So Aaron melted the gold carefully in the fire. Then he shaped the gold into the form of a calf, like one of the Egyptians worshipped. I mean, this is nothing new under the sun. And the people said to one another, "These are the gods, O Israel, that brought you out of the land of Egypt." When Aaron saw how much the people liked the calf, he put it in the middle of the camp, built an altar before it. "Tomorrow we shall have a feast for our God," he announced. I mean, Aaron's gone stupid. Aaron has just gone brain dead stupid. The next day, the Israelites had a great feast and worshiped the gold calf, and that they'd seen the Egyptians and their neighbors do. As they bowed themselves before the idol and sang and danced around it, they broke two of the Ten Commandments that God had told them. Do not have any other gods. Don't worship any other gods. Don't serve any other gods. You should not worship anything, no other image. And God saw all the gold calf, and he saw the Israelites bow down and worship. He heard them singing and dancing around it. He was greatly displeased. God said to Moses, "The Israelites have sinned against me. They have broken all the promises and made a god of gold. They are their worshiping and crying." This is what God said. This is the God that led us out of Egypt, let alone Moses. "So I will quickly destroy them all," God said. "They are not fit to be called my people. I will make you a great nation." And so Moses loved his people, even though they were often childish, unkind, thumbsuckers. You know, we've all done it, even as parents. You love your kids, even though they do stupid things. "Man, I love you, but I got to get the word of God in you." He did not want God to destroy them. He said, "Please, Lord, do not be angry with your people. Do not bring them out of Egypt. Did you not bring them out by your power? What would the Egyptians say if your people died here in the wilderness? And remember your promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And because Moses prayed for them, the Lord did not destroy the Israelites. Moses hurried down the mountain with Joshua. In his arms were the two wonderful tablets of stone upon which God had written the Ten Commandments. It was hard for Moses to believe that the Israelites had sinned this bad. As they came to the camp, Josh said, "I hear the sound of war in the camp." Then he added, "That's strange. It's not the sound of victory or defeat. It's singing I hear." And when they came into the camp, they saw the people dancing and shouting before the golden calf. Moses was so angry, he threw the commandments to the ground, and they broke into many pieces. He wondered what God wanted to destroy the Israelites. Moses ran into the camp, tore his clothes down, or tore down the idol that the people watched. He broke into pieces, threw it into the fire, and then he ground it into dust, and he put it into drinking water. And he made the water taste very bitter. Moses insisted the people drink it. "You drink. I'm going to bust this golden calf into just dust, then I'm going to put it in the water, and you're going to drink this thing." Moses' sudden appearance broke up the merry feast. His anger quieted the people. There were many sorry that he'd come back. They wanted to worship the God that Aaron had made. Sternly, Moses asked Aaron, "What have you done that you made these people sin this bad?" Aaron said, "Don't be angry with me. You know how evil these people are in their hearts. They said, 'Make us gods to go before us.' We don't know what happens to Moses. Something's happened to him. So I told them to bring their gold earrings," which I threw the earrings into the fire, and the calf came out. How angry Moses was, he stood up at the gate of the camp, and he called out in a loud voice, "Those of you who are on the Lord's side, come here and stand by me." Then everyone who belonged to the tribe of Levi, that they came, they stood by Moses. He told these brave men, "Kill every person who still wanted to worship the gold calf. Do not spare any of them," he commanded. Everyone was sad. You can't even imagine, man. There was just something bad was going on. Everyone was so sad. No one was quite so sad as Moses. He knew how the people had sinned. He was afraid God might not forgive them. The next day, Moses told the people, "You've been very wicked in God's sight, and your sin is great. I will go up now, and I will make an offering for your sin. Perhaps God will forgive you." And Moses went before the Lord and offered himself to die if God will forgive the people. But God said, no, those who have sinned against me must suffer for their own sins. So in Exodus 34, God writes the Ten Commandments a second time. And the Lord said to Moses, cut two tablets and bring them down to Mount Sinai tomorrow. I'll write on the words that I wrote on the tablets that you broke. Moses did what God said. In the morning, he climbed Mount Sinai with the tablets under his arm. God talked to Moses and told him how to lead the children of Israel. For 40 days and 40 nights, God taught Moses on the tablets, and God once again wrote the Ten Commandments. How glad the Israelites were when they heard Moses was coming down the mountain. This time, he was gone. They did not complain. They did not worship other gods. They went out to meet him. When they saw him, they were afraid and started back to camp. Why are you so frightened? Moses wondered. He called to Aaron and the rulers of the people. What's everybody running from for? They said, your face shines with a strange light, like the sun. It is so bright we can't even look at you. Moses did not know that God's glory was shining on his face. He put a veil over it, didn't tell the people to come back and listen to the words. Then God gave Moses rules for the people to follow. Moses wrote them back in a book, and God himself wrote the Ten Commandments on two stone tablets. Ever after, Moses wore a veil and told the people God's words. Whenever they talked, he took the veil off. You know, an incredible story as that is. It talks about the children of Israel, but every human I've ever known, every family member I've ever known, we know that the righteous fall seven times a day, but they get back up. People sin because we still have flesh. We're still growing in the things of God. That's why every day you get to repent, every day you get to forgive. If you don't repent and forgive on a daily basis, you get what we call spiritually constipated. You're not doing very good. So you need to listen. God said, I'm going to grow up a people. We're growing in the things of God. We're not perfect. We're growing up. What are you going to do tomorrow? Grow up some more? What did you do yesterday? I grew. You know, I repented some. I forgave some. But every day I'm growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So every story in the Old Testament is just a kind of a precursor to the New Testament. What are you doing? Same as they did. But what we do is we don't have the commandments. The veil in that temple, and Jesus died on that cross that day in the New Testament, the veil in the temple tore top to bottom, top to bottom. He says, no more law. It's by faith now. By faith, you're just going to believe me. By faith, you're going to believe that my son died for you and that I raised him from the dead. By faith, you're going to believe that you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. By faith, you're going to realize something. God's going to empower you by the Holy Spirit, and just like he told his mom to do on the day of Pentecost. God will empower you and I to do what we need to do. We're still not perfect. I tell people all the time, even a mature Christian understands something. What are you going to do today? Probably repent and forgive several times. I'm still growing in the things of God. All those stories throughout the Old Testament, how they sinned, they repented, and they sinned, and they repented, and they sinned, and they were, God's trying to point a picture. He says, listen, I know you got flesh. I made you. Your flesh, the Bible says your flesh is damned. It's going to one day go back to dust. One day God will give us a new body that will never grow old. It'll never die. It'll never get sick. It'll never have disease. We're going to get a new heaven, a new earth, but we're also going to get a new body. And we're going to live forever in heaven. People make fun all the time. How long are you going to live? Forever, you know? And people have talked to you, say, how old are you? I said, well, you know, I had two aunts that would be 100. One lived to be 104. But when you look at it, you're not old. You've not even started yet. One day you'll be 200 billion years old. It won't matter. Time will cease to exist. We go back into, God made time for us to live in, but when you go back to heaven, there is no time in heaven. Heaven's eternity. It is an incredible, glorious place. You can't probably get your mind wrapped around all the things God's going to have for us to do, and things we'll get to experience. But what it is, we're on a journey right now, and so we're growing in the things of God. That's why every Christian needs to be in a good local church and participate. Show up early, stay late, back in the floor, teach Sunday school, usher, greet. Be a blessing to your local community. Be a part of your local church. Sit under a good teaching pastor. Read your Bible on your own. You know, I tell everyone, just spend 3 or 4 minutes reading the Bible when you get up in the morning. That word will carry you all day long. The Holy Spirit will bring to your remembrance what you studied. So you got to start feeding on the Word of God. I tell people two things last forever, humans and the Word of God. Two things, only two things will last forever, humans and the Word of God. That means put some time in that book. Spend some time being blessed to your family. Leave everybody better than you find them. That's what we're trying to do right now. God bless, guys. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next time. Hey, thanks for listening today. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. He's got a great future for you and your family, and we are here to help you get there. Make sure and go to our website, joemcgeeministries.com. We've got all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it, all there to help you, your marriage, and your family succeed.